pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 1065, 6 minutes after the hour on this Thursday morning. So to come on the program today, Mobile City Councilman LaVon Manzi, he'll be with us at the bottom of the hour. And State Representative Matt Simpson joins us in studio in the next hour, so stick around. Joining us now, always a pleasure to introduce my next guest. Represents the folks in the 4th Congressional District. Self-quarantining right now. I assume just hanging out at the house. Congressman Robert Adderholt. Congressman, how are things?
Jeff, doing well. Thank you. So, we're still COVID-free. I'm just in quarantine, so we're just taking one day at a time until I get over my quarantine time that I have to be out of pocket from being in contact with anyone.
So we got about, another week or so of quarantine?
Yeah, a little less than a week. Should about Monday or Tuesday or next week in time for Thanksgiving. So it'll be nice to be able to get back to civilization.
Well, we're hoping for the best there for you with the COVID situation, I suppose.
Well, I've been very fortunate. I've had 3 tests so far, and they've all come back negative. I've had no symptoms, but because some people might say, well, why are you in quarantine? But I was exposed last week to someone who was actually hours after I left them, they came down with the symptoms. They went to the emergency room, and they're still in the hospital. And I was with them for in excess of 3 hours before they were actually taken to the hospital.
Wow. Well, I guess it's better safe than sorry. Like I said, I wish you the best there. Let's talk about what's going on in Washington, D.C. while you're away. You had the leadership elections, no big surprises. That it looks like you're sticking with what you had the last time around. It seems to be pretty decent slate.
Yeah, no, we've got Kevin McCarthy has done a really great job in trying to rally the troops and trying to work for Republicans. And it was in an environment where people said we were going to lose seats, and we actually gained seats. We've actually going to pick up probably 10 to 12 seats. And that was just, if you had said that a month ago, people would have laughed at you. And so Kevin McCarthy, our NRCC chairman, and all of us really pulled together and trying to help Republicans. And we were able to pick up that many seats, and we actually flipped about 9 or 10 Democrat seats to Republicans. And like I said, if you'd have mentioned that a month ago, the Democrats would have laughed at you, but now they're not laughing.
Well, that's and they got their own struggles. The Democrat side is very interesting to me. Now, I guess they had their leadership elections, but really the drama that's going to unfold on the floor of the House when the Speaker is when you have the Speaker election, because of that. That is not as much of a given as within their own caucus.
Well, that's exactly right, because there are several Democrats that have never voted for Nancy Pelosi for Speaker. And so they will actually have to give a verbal answer on the floor whether they're going to vote for McCarthy or whether the Republican, or whether they vote for Nancy Pelosi. And some of them have committed not to vote for Pelosi. So it puts them in a very, very difficult situation.
Yeah, because you always have like a Jim Cooper, somebody that votes for his mom. And did they refuse to vote Pelosi as Speaker? With these razor-thin margins, there's going to have to be some wheeling and dealing made. And it's not clear to me, though, the caucus seems very divided on that side. I know you're on the Republican side, but kind of watching there, having a front-row seat to this, you have some vulnerable moderates. I think they're going to be very vulnerable in 22. They're not going to be as willing to vote on these messaging bills that Pelosi puts out there as she did over and over again in these last two, in this last Congress.
Yeah, you're perfect. I mean, you said it perfectly. That's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to be very reluctant to move forward on her agenda. And if we are able to keep the Senate, which I think we will with these, at least have one of these Senate seats go Republican in Georgia, hopefully too, then I think that's going to be able to really put a real damper on the liberal agenda that a lot of the Democrats, not all the Democrats, but most of the Democrats nowadays want to try to put forward in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you would want Trump reelected and into the White House, but if it does wind up being Joe Biden, you got to be kind of satisfied with where the Republicans are sitting today, because 2022 on the horizon, you have the Senate keeping it getting too crazy in these first 2 years, and you have what typically historically happens in a midterm after a new after any president is the party in power suffers losses. So going into 2022, the Republicans are in good shape, it would seem, on paper at least.
It does look very good for the Republicans on the House and Senate side, quite honestly, because we are within striking distance now of getting the majority. Obviously, there's still some seats that are still out there. I think that most of them have been called, and it's going to be a Democrat majority in the House, but it's by a much slimmer margin than they thought. And as you rightly said, when you go into a midterm on a president of the other party, then there is a backlash. And so historically, I think it's 10 to 20 seats that the party in the minority picks up. So we'll be well over the majority come 2022.
Well, another component to this, we maybe haven't talked about a whole lot, and I know Alabama's got to figure their situation out, but the reapportionment. Nationally, Republicans have made gains in these state legislatures, so when reapportionment time comes, that might be an additional feather in the cap for Republicans in 22.
True. That is exactly correct. I don't know which states, I've not seen a map to see which all state legislatures are controlled by Republicans, but I do know that we have one picked up a lot. And it's in the hands of the legislature, just like all of us in Alabama. We're at the mercy of the House and the Senate and Montgomery as to how our district lines are drawn. So, yeah, they have control over that. And so it could mean a handful of seats anyway across the nation that the Republicans could benefit from.
Yeah, so that's the else. There's so many different storylines working here. We're joined by Congressman Robert Aderholt here on the program. Let's talk about what's to come. If it is Biden, this is not an agenda election. I don't think he has a mandate or anything like that. We're basing it on what we think is going to happen, or a lot of us think is going to happen with Biden as the president. The Senate probably going Republican in January, and then this razor-thin margin for Democrats. And now, so there's no message from that. Therefore, I don't think there's a mandate, but the people voted for gridlock. But what do you think? What do you think could get done over the next we'll say the first 100 days?
Well, I don't expect a lot to get done over the first 100 days, to be honest. I may be completely wrong, but because of the gridlock and because of the division that we have in this country right now, I don't think we're going to see major pieces of legislation passed. There a lot of people say they get so frustrated with gridlock, but the only thing, there's something worse than gridlock, and that's passing bad legislation. So sometimes it is not a bad thing to have gridlock if you're stopping bad legislation from happening. So I'm just hoping that the Biden agenda, that if it's going to be a liberal agenda, which I feel like it will be because of the influence that the socialist wing has had on the party, that we can just keep a lot of that stuff from happening.
Well, and I kind of wonder, there's always this kind of happy talk after these elections that reach across the aisle and Republicans and Democrats will work together. And these last, I guess, going back these to maybe even the second half of the Bush administration hasn't really been the case. You know, you don't have these great, big, giant bipartisan efforts that we like to kind of fantasize about.
Yeah, let me say this. If Joe Biden wants to be, if he's only going to run for one term or only going to be a one-term president, he may want to try to work with the Republicans to get some things done. If he sees that he's not under the influence of the left side of his party, then he may be willing to work out some deals with the Republicans, and we could get something done. But again, what my point is if he tries to do this, trying to push the liberal agenda on the American people, then of course the Republicans, I think our job is to try to stop it.
Is there any reason to think that he would not try a liberal agenda, but something maybe liberal light, or maybe even some ways Bill Clinton-esque?
I think it's hard to know yet. I think he's going to have to assess things, see how things are. But I think he's going to be under a lot of pressure by the left in his party to say, we got you elected, so we need you to step up to the plate and get some of these policies done. And so, but if we have the Senate and we've got a strong, not a majority, but a strong minority in the House, then we can keep that from happening.
Yeah, it just I don't see really a path forward to appeasing the left. I mean, they really are in a tough spot, Democrats are, because there doesn't seem to be the appetite to do these big things they all talked about on, you know, the primary on the campaign trail, this idea that we should do student loan forgiveness or relax the standards or the regulations at the border or whatever. It's hard to see how any of that could ever happen under these current circumstances.
Well, that on the campaign trail, they were expecting to pick up the Senate. They were expecting to pick up multiple seats, 10 to 12, 15 seats in the House and all that, and none of that happened.
Well, last question here. Obviously, we've been talking about this a lot. Any kind of COVID-19 package, maybe even in the lame duck before the new president gets in?
I'm hearing that they are trying to move on something, but I think the Democrats are still wanting to do this $2.2 trillion plus project. Policy in this new COVID relief bill, and that is just, I think, too much at this point. I think the Senate will not go along with it. The Senate is still in control through this Congress for sure, and it just won't go anywhere. So unless the Speaker is willing to pare down on the House side, then I don't see it going anywhere until maybe after the new year.
Gosh, we've got to leave it there. We're out of time here, but hopefully everything's going to go well for you on the COVID front, and you'll be back in action soon.
Well, thanks, Jeff. Good to chat with you, and look forward to being with you on again.
All right, we'll do it again real soon. That was Congressman Robert Atterholt, North Alabama 4th Congressional District, joined us on the line. The same thing you hear from a lot of these guys. They're gaming for a Biden administration, unless something really unforeseen here could happen. And look, I get your text here, Leo, with the Donald Trump tweet about the important news conference, but why wasn't this rolled out 2, 3, 4, 5 days ago? I guess they had to find this stuff. I don't know, but I'm skeptical. Let's say that we're not going to be seeing Biden sworn in on January 20th. But we have these discussions. We got to start thinking about how you deal with some of that stuff. Got to get a break in here. We will return. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, it ain't so hard to say. Would you please?